clase. Yo me clase.
God spoke one word in my heart, actually this morning, because I had partly planned for something else. But that word was worship. Worship. You know, we walk with an awesome God. When we consider the creation of man in the image and in his likeness, we just begin to see how awesome he is. That he loved man so much, actually loved his creation so much, that even before he laid the foundation of the world, the Bible says that Jesus was crucified. Now that wasn't in actuality, but that was in the purpose of God for this world. He knew before he created man what was going to happen. And he knew before he created man that he was going to restore and bring man back into his image and back into himself. And that he has dealt with man all of these years. And when we consider all of those things, our hearts are filled with worship. Mm-hmm. Worship, it means, simply means to bow down in adoration of one that is loved and one that is cared for. And you know, we worship him. In Psalms 100, the word tells us that it's actually a psalm of praise. But it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." To enter into his presence with praise and with worship. One of the thoughts comes to my mind, and I have said this before, but I think the story is phenomenal. In Israel, one time, all of her enemies gathered together against her. And the king, who had to be a wise king, and a king that knew God, he said these words. He said, "Father, we have no might against this company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do." In other words, he was confessing that they didn't have the power to go out against this great company that was coming against them. And they didn't have the knowledge to know what to do. But he made a statement. He said, "But our eyes are upon you." In our lives, we face the impossible almost daily. That in our physical capacity, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle the problems that are confronting us or the crises that are coming our way. And he said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And God spoke prophetically to Israel. And he told them what to do. He said, first of all, the battle is not yours. You know, that's phenomenal. Here is an all the armies and enemies of Israel that is coming against Israel. And God says, this is not your battle. And beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that all of the things that are facing our lives where we are right now, this is not our battle. In Matthew, he said that talking about the sparrows and the birds, that they don't sow and they don't harvest. But your Father takes care of them. You think of all of the animals in the world today, and that man is the only one that goes out and plows the ground and sows the seed and harvests from that he has done. But he said, your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. And we say, well, Lord, you evidently have not seen because you don't know our needs. God does know our needs. You know, what we consider as needs is not necessarily needs all the time. I know it doesn't change the situation, but every one of us, where we live and how we live in some countries, would be considered a king because of what you have and what you get. But he said, don't take no thought for tomorrow has enough to do for itself. Mm-hmm. And when they lined up to go out to battle, God says, get the singers, get Judah, get the praise, get the worshipers, and put them in front of the army. And when they came to the battleground, the enemy had turned on itself and they had killed themselves. They didn't even have to shoot a shot, because God had declared that the battle is not yours, but it's mine. You see, Jesus came, paid the price, overcame the devil, made a show of him openly and nailing him to the cross, and won the victory. He triumphed over our enemy. And the fact of the matter is that God has called us to a purpose. He's called you and I to a purpose. And that purpose is not to have the fame and the fortune of this world. But God, in all of His wisdom and in all of His purpose, out before the foundation of the world, in His decision that in the consummation of the time, in the age of ages, that He was going to birth a corporate son in the earth to set creation free, chose not to use angels or some other means, but He chose to use His creation. And in that purpose, as the fullness of time was coming to be, just as Jesus, He was born 30-some years before He started His ministry on earth. So God didn't just instantly put Jesus on the scene. He was born of a virgin. He lived through a childhood and grew up and entered into His ministry. And you and I, God called us years ago. He placed His hand upon us years ago. He has brought us to this hour and to this time. And you know, the thing is that what are we to be? We are to be His sons. So therefore, I used to preach for years that God was going to have a people that was going to be able to live and worship Him in the midst of the crisis situations. And that's exactly what He's teaching us to do. To come into His presence in the midst of the reality of what is happening in this life with praise and worship and thanksgiving. Worship that comes from the heart. We love Him. We love Him unconditionally, and He loves us unconditionally. We adore Him. He's our Father that has cared for us all of these years and has brought us to this hour. Jesus said that He sought for people that worshiped Him in spirit and in truth. You know, and worship is not singing choruses 10 times. Worship is not starting out with the fast choruses and then ending up with a slow course. That's not what worship is, comes from the heart. You can be by yourself with no one else around you and just begin to say, Father, I love You. I adore You. I bless You with everything that is within me. And you know what? He responds with His presence. And you enter into a wonderful, sweet time of worship with the Father in the quietness of the hour. The prophet, the word says that the storms came, the earthquakes came, all of this great big noise came by, but God was not in it. But in the still, small voice, God began to speak to His people. Now, beloved, you've heard me say in the last few Sundays that this is a day that God is speaking to His people. God is bringing us into that place, into tabernacles, and I believe that. I believe that we're there. That they built their booths and they sat by the side of the road individually in the presence of the God. And worship is an individual response to God. His presence, His word, His ministry into us in this hour is what is changing us. The word says, as we behold Him, there's no work there. You are looking into His face, being changed into His image and into His glory. You know, the eagle moults. And when the eagle moults, he goes to the highest mountain or the highest position. And he sets his face into the sun and he sets there. Beloved, that's what we're doing. We are setting in the presence of the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the One who is always present, all-knowing, and all-powerful. And yet, He has chosen to dwell in temples that are not made with hands. We are His temple. We are His dwelling place. We are where God is in the now. You want to see God? Don't look up. Don't look into the wild blue yonder somewhere. Don't look to the fancy temples and buildings of man with their stained glass and their beautiful pews and all of their sound system. Don't look there. You want to see God? Look within. You and I are His dwelling place. We are where the King is in residence within us. Hallelujah. He's there. He's always present. Even in the darkest night or the severest of the storm, when you don't think He's there, hallelujah, God, the Almighty, the Creator of all things, is at residence within His temple. He's there. And He responds to our worship. He responds to our worship. He's always, you may not see Him, you may not feel Him. You may think He's 1,000 miles away, but He's not. He's there. He's at residence in His temple. And He's there to minister to you and to us as we worship Him. As we enter into that time of praise and that time of worship, we enter into His presence with praise and thanksgiving and worship. We don't come saying, Father, I want, I want, I want. We come saying, Father, I worship, I praise You. I delight in Your presence. I long to see and to live in the midst of Your presence. Psalm 23, David said, that I may dwell in the house or the presence of the Lord forever. You know, God is awesome. There's no one like Him. You know, man just attributes all kinds of things to God. Mistaken identity. They call Him a God of wrath. A God that's out to get you. A God that's just laying in wait for you to do something wrong and then He's going to zap you. That's not true. God is unconditional love. If you want to see what love is, look at God. He loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is that the Old Testament, man lived under laws of rules of do's and don'ts. But when Jesus came, Jesus fulfilled that law. And He condensed it down to 2. I mean, man made it 650 some. And Lord knows how much has been made through the denominations of this day. But Jesus took the law and He said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And on these 2 hinge all the law. It's all there. Love God and love one another. That's it. How do you do that? Walking in His presence. Mm-hmm. What does the song say? I come to the garden alone, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. And He tells me, hallelujah, that I am His own. I am His own. Song we used to sing in the church, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. I'm a child of the King. I am a child of the Creator of the universe. See, that within us begins to rise up worship. Because when you realize who you are, that He says we're joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with the very Son of the living God. We're His temple, we're His people. Then worship begins to rise from within. It doesn't have to have a song sung 10 times or a fast song sung or hyped up in some way. But in the quietness and the stillness of who we are, You began to contemplate that I am His child. I am His child. And worship begins to rise from within and flow out of what an awesome God that we walk with. And how much He cares and loves each one of us. And what He knows that we're going to finish the course that we've set out to run. Mm-hmm. He knows that we're going to reach the gold that has been set before us. Hallelujah. He knows that we're going to fulfill the purposes that He has proposed in Himself for us to become in this earth. That in God there is no failure. That in God there is no disappointment. That we're going to complete the course and win the race that we have set out to run. Because God has already spoken it over our lives. His purpose has already been declared within Himself. And He is able to perform that He has said He would perform. And that's why in the storms, in the night seasons, in the disappointments, in everything that touches our lives, we can praise and we can worship Him. Because as the old hymn of the church says, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Because my Father is in control of all that touches my life. And He has promised me ultimate victory in all that I face. May not be the victory that I desire in this hour, but in the conclusion of it all, when God pulls the veil off and unveils His manifested corporate Son of the earth, it is well. It is well with my soul. Because the temple has been designed by the blueprints that God laid out before the foundation of the world. And that temple that is being built of lively stones together for a dwelling place of God is going to be glorious indeed. When they went to rebuild the temple, there were those there that had saw the glory of Solomon's temple. And they were concerned because they didn't think this temple was going to be as well. But God says, the glory of the latter temple will be greater than that of the former temple. Let me tell you something. God is building a temple like this world has never seen before. God is building a dwelling place for Himself like mankind has never laid His eyes upon. Because the beauty of it exceeds anything that man has ever seen. Because the ending of it all is going to be the manifestation of His sons that walk out of this mortality into immortality, that walk out of this corruption into incorruptible, and that began to set creation free from the bondage of the curse that it's under. The ending of it all is going to be more glorious than the beginning. People talked about the glory of Pentecost, and that was a glorious day. And many have been the visitations of God upon this earth to man. And they've every one carried their glory or their certain glory. But beloved, nobody has seen the glory of what God is getting ready, hallelujah, to do in this earth in this hour. No man has laid his eyes on the glory of that that God is getting ready to manifest on this earth in this hour. And I tell you that we come into his presence with praise and worship and glory and honor, for he is worthy because of the work that he is doing in this earth in this hour. It's not our work. We've entered into his presence. We've entered into his rest. We have ceased from our labor. And his promise is that he will complete the work that he has begun in each one of us. And the glory of the latter is going to be far superior to the glory of the former house. Because this is the work that the Lord is doing. This is the day. This is God's day. This is the Lord's day. And we will rejoice in this day and in this hour. We will be glad because his hand is being revealed in the midst of a people in this day and in this hour like we have never seen before. So enter into his courts, his gates, with praise and thanksgiving. Enter into his presence with praise and thanksgiving, because great is our God, and greatly to be praised is that he that is seated upon the throne. And where is his throne? His dwelling place is within us. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. And he has promised us victory in all that we pass through. Do we like what we pass through? No. This flesh and blood don't like to be uncomfortable. We've all come to that. We don't like the aches and the pains of old age. We don't like the things that we pass through many times. But you know, God understands. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're passing through. And the fact of the matter is that it's all leading to an ultimate victory in him, when he reveals his sons in the earth. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless you and praise you. For worthy is our God to be praised. Hallelujah.